This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 306 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And my name is John.
It's going down, friend.
Well, I said right before we started recording that I didn't have a lot to talk about this week. And then as I was checking my notes, I realized that I forgot to watch two shows. So I've got even less to talk about.
What shows did you forget to watch?
Picard and Moon Knight.
Fuck, how well, you had a week. I get it. Mm-hmm. So we have not watched, what's it called? Don't tell me. I know the answer to this. Ghosts.
Oh, okay. Well, there was none this week.
Okay.
So it's still just Trevor's Chance that you need to catch up on. But this week, the 14th, Attic Girl. And the description says an 80s mean girl ghost named Stephanie who died on her prom night is awakened in the attic, triggering Sam to confront what happened on her own prom night. Outstanding.
Oh, nice.
I already love it.
I guess I can get behind that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm gonna have to put Moon Knight and Picard over to the side here. Guess I'll have two episodes of those to watch. Yeah, it was a week. It's been a couple of weeks of being a week.
That's kind of too bad.
Yeah, but you know, we do what we do. No sense crying about it now.
I mean, you can, but. Nah. You know, no one's really going to listen.
No, not really at all. So, pardon me. Endgame was not on this week, so maintained being caught up on that.
Endgame?
The Endgame. Yeah, you know, the one with Marina Baccarin.
Yes. That's right. The Endgame was not on this week.
Yep.
I do enjoy the hell out of that show, though, actually. I am finding more and more how much I like it.
Well, that's good. Like I said, I still am enjoying it for what it is, but it's also ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I could say that about a lot of shows these days, but, you know, that one in particular, she's got all the answers. She's got too much stuff going on. She's too good. Like, Red Reddington would look at her and be like, no, dude, that's too much.
Yeah, it probably would be. Yep.
I did watch Young Rock.
What'd you think of that?
I'm really enjoying this show. It seems like a couple of weeks here they've done this where instead of jumping around from age to age to age, you know, they stick with one age and tell a story. And
which I actually kind of like better sometimes.
Yes, as do I. You know, this one was the story of how his dad was basically working the gimmick and working his mom.
Working the gimmick.
Yep. And he was working his mom and, oh, yeah, we've got an apartment. It's great. And they basically lied to her that they had an apartment, lied to her that Dewey was in school. I really liked it when what's his name there? The promoter that he was living with. Not Mean Gene, but.
Downtown Bruno.
Yeah. I liked it when he served him up. He's like, oh, we're out of paper plates, so you're going to have your eggs on a magazine.
Yeah, I thought that was good too.
But no, it was it was nice. It's always nice the way that he ties the stories into who he is today and, you know, the type of person that he is. And this one, you know, technically they were still talking about Sean Astin's character and how he's slandering him, because apparently they are in a whole Twitter feud in the show. And Randall's like, I thought you said nobody could ever get under your skin like this. He's like, I know, but this kid just pushes my buttons. You know, he's just like, we're 11 again, and he's just got this way to get under my skin.
I did like how, like, even in the Twitter feud, if you will, he's like, even if they, like, he, like, Sean Austin's character is basically like, if he really is your dad, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's still like doubting. He's doubting The Rock as an adult who's running for president.
Which is even rougher because, you know, his dad's dead, so.
Yeah, but still, just like, he's just still kind of being a shitty person.
Yep. We got to meet Crusher, air quotes, who would later go on to be Bam Bam Bigelow.
Say Bam Bam Bigelow, and that was actually a very good depiction of him.
It was, and I loved how they asked him the question that we all wanted to know. Did your scalp tattoo hurt? Oh, yeah, a lot. It really did.
You don't ask a man that. Why not? Exactly. Why not?
I like how he was like, you know, oh, it was such an honor to wrestle with you, you know, and Vince McMahon wants me down here, you know, kind of getting my feet under me, and hopefully someday I'll get called up to the WWF. Yes, you will, sir.
Yes. Yes, you most certainly will. Positive of this.
But yeah, it's such an enjoyable show. It's something that I look forward to watching every single week. And, you know, I just, it's wholesome, it's funny, and it's, at least for the most part, based in truth. I know that they've got to exaggerate some stuff and they've got to take some creative liberties, but, you know, for the most part, it's based on his life.
Yeah, I mean, yes, like you said, there's some exaggeration in there, but the majority of it is true, or, you know, based on actual events or whatever you want to say. And I got to say, the depiction of a lot of the wrestlers in here is pretty damn spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always remembered Macho Man being bigger than that guy.
Well, like, yeah, Macho Man probably was bigger. Macho Man, but Macho Man was a lot smaller than Hogan. I mean,
yeah.
So true. I mean, maybe not.
Do you think we'll ever see Hogan in this show?
I don't know, because initially Hogan and The Rock didn't have any run-ins with each other, if you will, until much, much later in The Rock's career.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually be surprised if we did see anything.
Yeah. Good. I'm not missing him. I just was thinking about that and like, oh, hey, I wonder.
Yep. Yep. I mean, possibly, but I don't really think so.
Hmm. The Rookie came back this week.
That was a pretty solid episode, don't you think?
It was a very Rookie episode.
That's a very accurate statement.
I love how when the show first started out, it was, for the most part, it was realistic. You know, you and I were looking at it, we're like, wow, they've got some really realistic kind of stuff in here. This is good. And then the longer it's gone on, the more it's like, wow, this is ridiculous. Wow, this is over the top. Wow, what the fuck? What is going on? And it became like the opposite direction. Like, this is just too glamorized. Now we've kind of settled back in and we're like, okay, this is what it is. You know, let's just enjoy it for what it is.
And honestly, that's what it comes down to. The show is what it is, and I'm enjoying it for what it is, and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm. But this was a... I don't even know if it would be a ripped from the headlines episode, but this was a ridiculous over the top kind of episode where the cold open actually feeds into the episode.
But the start, you're right. It's very rare for the cold open to feed for the episode. And this is a very powerful and emotional cold open.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I felt it.
You know, he shows up on the scene of a crash. There's a female in the vehicle, and there's like a piece of metal going directly through one side of her out the other.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets in the car with her to talk to her while the fire department's devising a plan to get her out of this vehicle, and she dies.
Yep.
And that was really sad.
Slowly and painfully.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's just like, oh, my husband's getting me mad. I got popsicles in the back. Please don't write me a speeding ticket. You know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's an organ donor. So we get this was just horrifically sad scene of her being gurneyed through the hospital on life support and, you know, and everything. And like the hospital staff lined up on each side to show tribute because, you know, she's donating her organs. And then, of course, we meet the teenager who's up for her heart so she can live. And then it goes downhill from there.
Yeah. Basically, we get a the hospital gets hacked by this guy who I'm glad that it wasn't him alone because I did not find that believable. But basically, this guy who's worked in IT security, he got these other two people to help him because they had more nefarious plans. But they essentially took over the infrastructure of the hospital and were threatening to cut off power, cut off life support, and kill people if his wife didn't get the heart. And I understand, like, he's grieving and his wife is his everything. She's his world. And he basically, you know, she has cancer or she's had cancer before and her heart is failing. So she's down lower on the list because she's more of a risk. You know, you've already had cancer. You've had your shot. And this girl's higher on the list because she's young. She's been waiting longer. And so he basically holds them all hostage.
And then eventually they're going to force it because a patient dies. So the hospital's going to give the heart to her. And then Nolan gets the girl who's supposed to get the heart to FaceTime the woman's husband, the husband's woman, wife, I mean. And the daughter just tells her, like, I was going to do X, Y, Z, and now I can't because I'm going to die. And then she relates to her that she understands how she feels. Mm-hmm. Like, her dad doesn't understand. Her husband doesn't understand. But I understand how you feel, and you understand how I feel. And the woman's like, yeah, I can't take your heart. I can't do it. So she refuses the surgery. And then they tell the husband to change it. And he's like, I can't because they've locked me out.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want $5 million. And then this is where it gets absurd. Because they very easily trace it to a house, get to the house, and the house is vacant. Okay. But then they find multiple high power tension lines on the ground with branches over them. And they literally trace it down to like a storage shed. And they open the door and there's the two hacker people. And instantly they're caught. And instantly, you know what I mean? Like, it's all instantly undone. And the story's over for the week. Like, that.
Well, we had to wrap it up. It was the end of the episode.
But that's where it got really just. Really absurd at the end.
Yes. Yeah, it bothered me as well because it could have easily been a two-parter or they could have, you know, wrapped up the husband part of it halfway through and then spent the other half trying to track these people down. Yeah, basically the LAPD's tech guys couldn't get in. They couldn't get into the system to actually help, you know, wrest control back from them, but they were able to do a trace like that. You know, he's like, oh, you should be able to do a trace based on the phone that I was using to contact them. Oh, okay. Why they didn't think of that in the first place? Who knows?
Well, but they thought of it eventually, right?
Yep. Those writers, they think of everything.
Yeah, they certainly do. Well, I will say Moon Knight was awesome this week, and we got like even more coolness, so you'll love it. I'm caught up in Picard. I watched the two episodes. I was missing an episode, and then I watched the new episodes.
Okay.
And Picard was, because I remember I had missed a week.
Yes. Well, you'd missed a couple weeks, hadn't you?
No, just one.
Okay.
But I'm all caught up now. I watched the one I missed and the most recent one. And, yeah, they're both very good. And so
the one that you missed was the one with Brent Spiner, correct?
Yes.
Interesting, huh?
Oh, that was good.
Did you call the number on the card?
No, I did not. Oh, wait, yes, I did, and I got shit from Brent Spiner.
No, Q.
That's what I mean, Q. Yeah, sorry. Not Brent Spiner, Q. Yeah.
Yeah, he's basically like, we already knew you were going to call. We're busy doing other stuff. You suck.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was fun to meet, Greg.
We met Rene Picard.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the... Oh, hold on. I don't want to blur the episodes. Just give me a second. Because sure. I can do that very easily.
I will say that in the one that I saw, Q was her therapist.
Did she go to a dinner party?
I don't think so.
Okay, never mind then. I'm going to stop.
Okay.
Yes, because you know what? The episode's called Two of One.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it's part one of two, technically, because it does say, like, yeah, to be continued or whatever.
Oh, but if it's two of one, does that mean that this was the back end and now we're going to get the front part of the story? That would be
cool. I don't know. But it's directed by, it's not like Jonathan Frakes directed that episode. And this one, the next one is Joe Mendez.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, did you want to talk about that news while we're talking about Picard?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So basically, they've announced that next season is the final season of Picard. Awesome. Glad that they're going out on their terms.
Yes. And, hold on real quick, because I like it when they do that, because it's like, all right, we have a finite story we want to tell. And also, let's not be rude about this, but, you know, not Jean-Luc Picard, but I mean, yeah, he's old, but the actor that plays him, Patrick Stewart, there we go, good Lord, is 81. So, you know, not for nothing, he could live forever, but why push it?
Right, exactly.
You know, especially when he is the lead of the show. So, yeah, we're getting a third season, third and final season, keep going.
And they're pretty much bringing back the entire cast of The Next Generation.
And I am 100% okay with that.
I am 1,000% okay with that.
I'm 100% okay with that.
I want to see what they're going to do with it. You know, are they going to give us flashbacks? Are they going to be, this is where they are now? Is it going to be like what we just got with Brent Spiner, where it's an ancestor?
Or is it going to be like with Whoopi Goldberg, where we meet current Whoopi and young Whoopi, or, you know, young Guyan.
Right. Guinan.
That's another thing.
I love the little nod there. I don't even know if they intended it, but when Brent Spiner first meets Q, or John Delancey, and he's like, he says to him, you know, how did you do this? You just out of the blue dangle this data in front of me that I've been looking for years.
Yeah. Love I thought that was awesome.
Yep. Yeah, good. So I'm kind of glad that I missed an episode, because now I'll get to see both of the both of them together as they were intended.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I'm okay with I mean, I'm enjoying this. I'm not enjoying Discovery, but I'm very excited for the new Chris Pine powered one.
Yes.
Not Chris Pine, Jeez and Crow. Anson Mount powered one of Captain Pike. Pike.
Strange New World.
Yeah, Strange New Worlds. There we go. I'm very excited for that. I think it's going to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's see. The Connors wasn't on. I didn't watch Ghost. We talked about The Rookie. Did you watch any of, like, Inner Shadows, I think it was called? The one where I watched the first – I loved the first episode. And then, at the end of episode two or three, I was like, what the damn hell?
No, I did not.
Okay. Have you watched any of Halo?
No. Is that any good?
Dude, it's really, really good.
Okay. I will definitely check it out.
I'm so surprised you haven't, like, because
I just... Well, like I said, it was never a game series that I got into. Okay. You know, I was mostly PlayStation. Even when I was on the Xbox, I didn't pick up any of the Halo games. It wasn't that I was against it. It just felt like the majority of it was online multiplayer, player versus player, and, you know, it was... Yeah. It wasn't my bag. I guess the story is phenomenal in the games, but it just, by the time I got to it, they were like three games deep. And you know how that is when you're like
several seasons
away. And yeah.
Well, I watched the first, I mean, there's been three episodes so far, and I am thoroughly enjoying all of them. Episode 4 is going to be out this week. So if you want to, I'm not going to expect you to watch all four. So if you want, I'll hold off on watching episode four.
Sure.
And if you do find like midweek or near the end of this week, you're like, I've watched three of them, watch it. Then yeah. I'll watch it. But I'll hold off on watching episode four then until I hear from you.
Okay.
No Resident Alien.
No.
Do we really are you not watching that Lakers show, Winning Ways, on HBO Max, correct?
Correct.
I'm enjoying the hell out of this. Oh, sorry, Winning Time. I'm enjoying the hell out of this show. I'm really enjoying like just the style of how it's shot. The fact it takes place in 1980. I mean, that's really, really cool. The storyline's been really good. I'm really just enjoying the hell out of it. I would definitely give it a hard sell.
Nice.
That you should watch it. Or people would like it. You don't even have to like basketball to like this, quite frankly.
That's cool.
I mean, it helps, obviously, mm-hmm. but I don't think you have to like basketball to like this. I know like some of the family members, especially Jerry West's family, not happy with his portrayal. But yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But no, we are episode six aired last night. So there's only mm-hmm. four episodes left. So I've watched the first five. There's only 10 episodes in the season.
And I sent you that piece of news that they've already been renewed for a second season.
Yes, that was which. Hey, you know what? Doesn't surprise me because it's a fun show. Like the hour goes by like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume you snapped.
I did.
Okay.
You know it's not a fun show?
What?
Killing Eve.
I'm so glad I stopped. How Dude, bad is it?
I've watched the series finale. I watched the last episode last night. I saved the last two episodes to watch together. Worst fucking series finale ever.
Oh no.
Like the show was so good when it started. Mm-hmm. And like you can see it too. Like you can see how good the show is. First season, 96% Rotten Tomatoes. 83 on Metacritic. Season 2, 92%. 86 on Metacritic. Season 3, which you and I are like, ugh, it's starting to falter. 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. 63 on Metacritic, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Season 4, 62% on Rotten Tomatoes. 55 on Metacritic. And it's not wrong. Like, you know how I feel about critics. Like, I don't tend to take into consideration what they like and what they don't like and this and that. No, fucking spot on. I mean, it is terrible. It is. This season three has not been good. I mean, season four has not been good at all. It did not get any better from the episodes you watched. So the whole point of this season, spoiler alert, everybody, you may not want to listen. The whole point of this season is Eve and Helen and Villanelle, eventually Villanelle, all looking for the 12.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they go after the 12 and And also, like, since episode one, they've basically teased the sexual tension between Eve and Villanelle, correct?
Correct.
Well, finally, in episode eight, they have the sex. And they do lots of kissing, and then it's implied that they had the sex. And they're basically like, yep, we're a couple now. Now let's go find the 12 and kill them, and let's get out of here. And they go and do it, and they're on a boat. And then they're like kissing and they're all happy and they're going to go off into the moonlight together as a happy couple. And then Villanelle gets shot in the shoulder and they run off the boat and jump in the water. And Villanelle's kind of near the top of the water and Eve's kind of sinking. And then we see Villanelle get shot like three more times from like bullets hitting the water and hitting her. And then we see like Villanelle's body sink to the darkness of the depths as Eve reaches out longingly, and then she bursts out of the water top, out of the water, and then she's on the surface, and she's wailing and crying, and then they put the end on the screen.
That's it?
Yep.
Wow.
They put the end on the screen. So we don't actually know if Villanelle's dead. Like,
Wow.
We don't know. Maybe she is. Maybe she's not. So shitty. So shitty. Can you name a shittier season finale where they knew they were going to be ending, like the series finale, where you knew that this was going to be the final series and that they weren't getting renewed, or that they had developed that, hey, this will be the last season, and they had the whole time to plan about it, and this is the garbage they gave us?
Not off the top of my head, and I'm not trying to challenge you on this. I know that we've had some of these. I know that we have had some finales, like, where it's like, garbage.
Like, Scrubs had an amazing season finale, and then they decided to do one more season with the Scrubs med school, and that was not great. That was not good at all. X-Files kind of had a shitty season finale when the original series ended. But they did good with their season 11 miniseries finale, if you will. The Sopranos, people complain about it just cutting to black and not knowing what happened. As they all get together at the diner to eat, people complain about that, but people didn't complain about the whole season. Like, this one was terrible.
Right.
Yeah. You know, people were pissed at Dexter because they liked the fact that when the original Dexter series, and that's something I might do soon, is buy a month of Showtime and watch Dexter, because I really want to watch it. But when Dexter had the original series finale, and he kind of is off in the water in the hurricane, and then it's ominous, we don't know what happened with him, but then they cut to like him sitting down in a chair with a beard because he's a lumberjack now, and people were like, what the f-? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. At least that wasn't terrible, and this was just terrible. Absolutely terrible. Terrible. All right, I'm done.
So the message I'm getting here is terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Okay. I am so glad that I chose to not watch any more of it. I'm so glad that I didn't waste my time. Not that I'm ragging on you, but I'm just, you know, originally there, the first week that I skipped it, and I was like, no, I'm not going to. And you were like, really? I mean, it's the final season. I can't believe that you're just giving up. And I was like, yeah, I'm just not going to. I'm glad that I made that call.
I just had faith that it was going to get better. And then it didn't.
And then they betrayed your faith, sir.
Oh, my gosh. They did so badly. They did so badly.
That's terrible.
All right. This is on us. Is that the only other show we have to talk about?
Well, I've got two that you didn't watch. Okay. I saw the other day that they released a trailer for season two of Russian Doll. And one night that happened, and that night at dinner, I was like, I'm putting on Russian Doll. And Julia's like, okay. And we watched the first episode. And like, as we're watching it, she's like, what's it about? And I'm like, I'm not going to say. And she's like, okay, fair enough. So we watched the first episode, and she's like, wow, that was weird. And I'm like, yep. By the third episode, she's like, oh my God, this is great. I really like this. And then the third episode ends with, you know, the elevator and Alan's there. And he's like, you know, oh, it's okay. I die all the time. And she's like, what? There's another one. And I'm like, yep, but it's bedtime. And she's like, oh yeah, well, we'll do more tomorrow. And then we just plowed right through it, because they're nice. They're 24 minutes long each. There's only 8 of them.
Right. They're not. It's easy to view. Yeah.
And holy crap. What a great show. What a phenomenal show. It was even better the second time, honestly, because I picked up on things the second time through that I didn't pick up on the first time. And it was just enjoyable. She loved it. She was like, this was fucking perfect. I love this. And then, you know, we were just like flying high. And as soon as it got over, I was like, all right, I've never seen this before, but here is the trailer for season two. She's like, they're going to have a season two. I was like, yeah. And then we watched the trailer and we're both like, well, I mean, we'll watch it because, you know, they spun gold the first time, but honestly, watching the trailer, it didn't entice me to watch it. Like,
Nope.
It doesn't seem like a story they need to be telling.
Me neither. I watched the trailer and I just sort of went like, huh. Okay.
But I'm damn sure going to start watching it.
And that's like I sent you, like, well, there's a show I didn't think did a second season.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
I forgot I did start a new show, but continue on.
Well, I was going to say I finished. So we sat down the other night and it was like, we should clean up, kind of like we cleaned up Reacher. You know, we're like, okay, we cleaned up Reacher, you know, we've got to finish that up. And it was good. But we're trying to do that, like clean up some shows before we dig into other stuff yet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, she was like, well, we still have to watch more Severance. I was like, yep. Still don't know what's going on, but okay. We're on like episode 5, I think. And there were 9 episodes. I was like, oh, look. So they have had a season finale. And, you know, so if we push through, we can see all of them. She's like, okay, great. So we watched episode 5. And it was the same thing. It was like, this is so bizarre. It's so weird. I saw something that once said that it was Kaufman-esque, you know, Charlie Kaufman. And I get
Andy
that.
Andy Kaufman, you mean?
Andy Kaufman. Yeah. It's just bizarre. Some of the stuff that they do in there, you're just like, why are they doing this? This is so fucking weird.
Yeah.
So episode 6, it was like, oh, this is interesting. Okay. Things got a little bit cooler. I won't bore you with the details, but I will say that by the time episode 9 hit, I was like, this show is great. They finally started to piece things together. It's almost like the season built up to what's going to happen in season 2. And then they left us on a cliffhanger, unlike any cliffhanger I have ever seen. Like,
really?
Yeah. You know how you just said that Killing Eve was the worst finale ever?
Yeah.
This was the biggest cliffhanger I have ever experienced in a show. Like, I had anxiety afterwards, sitting there going, oh my God, oh my God. Because the way that they did it, it was exactly what they needed to do, but at the same time, it was like, holy fuck. It just, the 9th episode flipped everything, changed everything, really gave you a full-on look at what was going on, and it raised so many questions that I'm just blown away. I read an article right after that because I saw one pop up on my newsfeed, and basically the creator of it, Ben Stiller's the director and the producer, but the creator of it, Dan something, he said that he's very glad that people liked the finale because they were very scared given the sheer size of the cliffhanger that they left it on. But he's happy to report that they are already in production on season 2 and they've got a whole bunch of new stuff that they're going to explore now that things have changed. And holy shit, I can now safely give this a hard sell. Like,
really?
Yes. Like, the first episodes are rough. They're weird. There's vibes in it that are creepy beyond creepy, like just fucking bizarre. And you're like, I don't know why I'm watching this. But the end of the 9th episode, it's like, I'm fucking in. I am so in. I cannot wait to see more of this. And I shit you not, it's not that it's a super rough trip to episode 9, but you start questioning why you're watching it. You know, you're like, this is so bizarre. There's got to be something in here. I'm here to tell you there's something in there and it's fucking great.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would give that one a hard sell. They're an hour each. There's 9 episodes, so it is a chunk. But honestly, I can safely say that the payoff is worth it, and there is going to be a second season. And I can't remember the last time that I saw a show where, A, the cliffhanger was this big, and, B, that the next season, like, there's just going to be so much different in the next season. And it's unreal. So, yeah, it's – holy shit. Like, this was a lot. And, the game is going to be completely changed. Not that there's a game, but you know what I mean. Like, this is huge. So, yeah, I'm giving it a hard sell.
Well, okay then.
And that's, other than that, I think that's it for shows for me, other than This Is Us. So what was the new one you started?
HBO Max, I started the Tokyo Vice show.
Christ, that keeps popping up for me. How is it?
So I really enjoyed the first 2 episodes. That's what I've watched so far. Okay. It's based on a true story. It takes place in 1999. It's about a guy named Jake Adelstein who has moved to Tokyo. and he can speak and write Japanese very well, and he really wants to join a Japanese newspaper. And it's really about his time being a crime journalist. And eventually, I remember reading about him several years ago. Remember when Maxim magazine was a thing?
Yes.
I mean, I think it technically still is.
Well, probably, but I mean, is it really?
Back before the internet, when Maxim magazine was like, even back 10 years ago, maybe a little less than that, when it was still a pretty huge thing, I remember reading an article about this guy because he wrote an article about the Yakuza, and they basically were like, we don't like what you've done.
Yeah.
So anyhow, it's basically about that, and it's very interesting. I mean, a lot of the show's in Japanese, so there's a lot of subtitles, and but yeah, I think it's I enjoy it thoroughly.
Cool. Yeah, I might have to check it out. Like I said, it keeps popping up on my feeds and little news things. They're like, oh, this is what's going on with Tokyo Vice, and then I'm not reading what's going on, but you know, people right. seem to be talking about it a lot.
Yeah, I actually enjoy it thoroughly.
Cool.
Yeah. This is us. Saturday in the Park. The final, the park episode. The one that they said, oh, this is where your parents' marriage exploded. What'd you think?
Which is interesting because looking ahead, this week's
episode. This week's what?
Sorry, I accidentally hit the mute button mute as button. I was moving
okay.
it. This week's episode is called Katobi, and it says Kate and Toby's relationship evolves over a few years. And then the next three episodes are called Day of the Wedding, The Night Before the Wedding, and Miguel.
Huh. Well, we know that Kate gets married to British fella.
That's what it certainly looked like in the finale last season.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's the wedding that they're referring to.
Maybe it's Miguel and Rebecca's wedding.
Yeah, they kind of been building to that.
Yep. So the Saturday in the Park, we see Jack and Rebecca's 10th anniversary. And where they hire a babysitter so they can go out. Kevin and Randall lock the babysitter in the bathroom because she was mean to Kate.
Yep.
Rebecca's drunk as shit, but she's really happy because they stuck together and the boy stuck up for Kate. Mm-hmm. And fast forward to the present, where we have the 10th anniversary of Rebecca and Miguel's wedding, mm-hmm. and they're having a barbecue at Toby and Kate's, and Toby and Kate have their big fight near the end. And of course, Randall and Kevin jump in, basically stick up for Kate and tell Toby to get your finger out of my sister's face. You need to calm down. Uh-huh. And Toby, of course, like, oh, there it is. That's it right there. The three of you together.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick, I enjoy the hell out of the show, but they really have taken the Pearsons and not made them like they've kind of made them the villains of their own show.
I was thinking the same thing.
In one extent, especially this season.
Mm-hmm.
Where no matter what's actually right or wrong, they believe in what they believe and everybody else is wrong.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this episode especially, like, it made me, I don't want to say cringe, but it made me uncomfortable watching it and realizing that was the lesson. That was the happy thought was, oh, they stuck together no matter what. Somebody yeah. picked on Kate and they all ganged up on her and locked her in a yeah. closet. They bullied her in order yeah. to protect their sister. And they tortured and tormented this girl.
Yep.
And now we see them in adulthood doing the same thing. You know, the other people, Beth and Miguel and Toby have all talked about how hard it is to be on the outside of this fucking exclusive club of Pearsons. And they're just proving it even more in this episode. Like, yeah, you're wrong automatically. We're automatically going to take our sister's side, even though they don't know half of what's going on. They're just like, yeah, we're taking her side. You're wrong, Toby. You suck.
But the other thing too, is that what's implied is that when they're together, It's when they're insufferable. But apart, yes, they're a lot more tolerable, I guess.
And when they fight with each other, then, you know, they can still burn each other's worlds down.
Yeah, exactly. We also see at the beginning where it's Saturday, which means we go to the park. And so they go to the park and they teach, like, so Jack knows how to open the door and how many steps he has to take to get to the sidewalk. And basically we see them taking the song Saturday in the Park, and Kate sings a song all the way to the park to the tune of that about walking to the park and how to get there and what they do. And we see when Jack gets there, they put him towards the swings and he drops his cane and he runs, because he's not completely blind where he sees darkness. He can see lights and flicks of light, but he can't see anything.
Right.
But it's not like he just sees total blackness.
Right.
But like, we basically see that he, kid's 4 years old, I think, in this, perhaps, because they aged
him. I think he seemed younger, but okay.
Yeah. But regardless, you know, Kate has basically taught him like how to do a lot of stuff. And Toby brings up to the point that like stuff that you would never teach or encourage a toddler to do if they had vision, but yet you're teaching it to the blind kid.
Right.
And so Toby's kind of got a point, but then Kate makes a point where it's like, yes, but because he's blind, we have to teach them this stuff now, because he's going to take so much longer for him to learn it than others, or to help him build his confidence. So when he goes into different places or whatever. So like, they both kind of have a valid argument about it, but yet it's like they've never taken the time to discuss what they're going to do. Kate just does what she's going to do, and Toby just disagrees with it vehemently.
And that's a big part of the point there, is that Kate gets to make all the decisions, you know,
well,
and that's part
Toby's
of Toby's
not there.
Right. And that's part of his frustration with it, is that she gets to decide, yes, we're going to teach our 4 year old how to walk himself to the park, even though he is functionally blind, you know, and I get what she's saying. We have to teach him independence and stuff, but they still lock him behind a baby gate inside the house so that he can't get out. Why would you then teach him how to walk on his own to the park? Like, there's a double standard there.
Yeah, it is. It is a little tough. And so essentially, at the end of the day, Kate and Toby are fighting. Jack decides it's Saturday. He wants to go to the park. And what's happened is, during all of this, there was a leak from months ago, or episodes ago, if you will, that was happening, and it's gotten worse, and Toby didn't actually fix it like he was going to, and he never called the plumber. So like, there was clearly water leaking in the ceiling, and it's a piece of the ceiling broke away after a drip started.
Now,
and
correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he have his dad come over, because he didn't want his dad to come over, but he had his dad come over to help him fix it, and it was the dad from the Wonder Years?
That's right, and they worked on it together.
Yeah, so they can't fully blame Toby be like, you suck.
But at the same time, Kate's like, Toby, we need your help here. Toby. When Toby's like trying to take care of his son and trying to cook everybody's food. And, you know, Toby is doing a lot of stuff, and Kate is just losing her mind from the get go and kind of being unreasonable.
And Toby then sniping at him as well. You know,
yes.
Do you think you could come in here and help us instead of just giving an attitude?
Right. And Toby doesn't make sure the gate is clicked to Jack's room. He thought he heard it click, but it didn't. And then Kate, when they let the plumber in, she didn't lock the door when she closed the door. So Jack puts his boots on and heads out and goes to the park, and he walks off. And when he gets to the park, he drops his cane like he normally does, but instead of running for the swings, he just starts running down the sidewalk. You assume he's going to fall down these stairs, but instead he just trips and falls. Rebecca's the one that figures out he went to the park because his boots are gone, and she runs to the park and finds him. And he's got a big laceration on his head, and that's where we get the scar, which the implication was, I thought the grill exploded.
Yep.
But instead, he tripped and fell, which was still wrong, and he got a scar, and he got stitches, and it just, the kid was crying, as he should, getting stitches, especially seeing how he doesn't know what's going on. And Jack and Toby and Kate have their big fight, and yeah, that's kind of it.
And then the Pearson triplets are dicks about it.
Yep. Also, on Kevin's side of things, he sees that he catches Elijah going through Madison's jewelry box, because he's going to go get Elijah to introduce him to his brother. And Elijah implies that he's going to propose to Madison. And so now I liked how Kevin was being Kevin and Randall just took his phone away from him and stopped him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because as soon as somebody else is playing with the toy that he didn't want, he now wants
the toy. And Kevin basically tells Madison, you know, I was thinking about this. I have a hospital with my nephew, fell down. Don't worry, he's okay. Like, you're still my emergency contact. And I got to change that. You shouldn't be. I'm sorry. Because Madison says to him, I think Elijah's going to propose to me. How do you feel about that? And I thought she was going to say, because this is your last chance. But instead, she's like, I'm super pumped.
Yeah. She's like, I really love him. And I mean, they've only been together a couple of months, but those kind of things can happen.
Right. And so I think it's been 4 or 6 months now at this point, actually. They've really progressed the show timeline-wise pretty rapidly.
Yes. Yep.
But yeah, she's like, I'm the mother of your children. I can still be emergency contact. That's fine. But, you know, we're co-parents. That's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they can make it work because it's very difficult to co-parent with someone.
Are you speaking from experience?
Tremendous amount. But anyhow, again, it wasn't a bad episode. It was a good episode. It's just...
Now, there was another thing that I thought was a little unnecessary, a little, you know, knife twist, sticking, whatever you want to call it. But basically, the reason that Jack went to the park wasn't just because it was Saturday.
Oh,
yes. Saturday we go to the park. It was because mommy and daddy are always happy at the park. So he figured if he went to the park, then they'd be happy.
Right. Poor kid doesn't know anything.
Which, you know, that is 4-year-old mentality. But at the same time, you know, oof. I think.
Sorry, lost you.
I think you're right. There are two sides to this story. Personally, if I had to pick one, I'm more team Toby than team Kate. Even though he is the absentee parent for the most part, he is trying. Like, he's not absentee and like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. He wants to deal with it as much as he can. He's trying to get the family up there. You know, he gives her a huge portion of shit about her contradictory bullshit. You know, you gave me crap about turning down a job without asking you, and now you go and accept a job without asking me. And she's like, yeah, well, it's my life. I get to do this. Because, you know, she's a Pearson, and they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to do whatever they want.
Well, it's like when Beth and Toby had the conversation, and, you know, Beth was like, well, you know, we tried long distance with Randall and I because of his job, and blah, blah, blah. And Toby goes, yeah, but you moved to be with Randall. And save your marriage. She won't. Which is basically true.
Yep.
She won't.
Sure is. I mean,
they both have very differing point of views on parenting. Mm-hmm. Not a parent, they're a blind child. And they have yet to actually discuss how they want to do it. And that's the biggest hang up.
Yep.
We vehemently converse about this fictional show.
Yeah.
Is that it for TV shows?
I think so. It's definitely all that I watched.
Same here. I got a few movies. Did you watch any movies this week?
Did not.
Okay. Oh. The Batman is going to be on HBO Max April 18th.
Okay.
So a week from today.
Okay.
You should definitely watch it. I'm going to watch it again.
That'll be part of my 3-day weekend.
There you go.
Because Patriots Day, you know?
Yeah, Maine and Massachusetts only holiday. Lucky us. We have an extra day to file our taxes if you hadn't done it already, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie on Netflix I stumbled across. It's called The Last Mercenary. It's in French. He does his own English dubbing, though.
Okay.
He plays a French secret agent who goes into hiding because he had a love child, and to protect his son, he goes into hiding and he blackmails the people involved, and they have to give his son a monthly allowance and give him immunity from everything for his entire, for the rest of his life, and he'll go away. And something happens and he has to come out to save his son, and it's okay. You know, it's comedy. It's all right. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's not your classic Van Damme fight film. He does do plenty of fighting. He also does some dancing very similar to Double Impact, so that was hilarious.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because it's just as bad. It's pretty fantastic, actually. But yeah, he's 61 years old, and, you know, he is in great shape for 61, and definitely had a stunt double for some scenes, or fighting double for a couple of scenes. But for the most part, you could definitely see he was doing a lot of it. And I don't know. It's a Van Damme flick, but it's not your typical. It's more of a comedy one, which happens as you get older. And I liked it.
Cool. I don't remember the last Van Damme flick I watched.
Well, he recently did a couple of kickboxer movies where, like, he was the old mentor instead of the young kickboxer. So that was kind of neat.
Hmm.
I watched the Ryan Reynolds film, The Adam Project, on Netflix.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
What'd you think of that?
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Wasn't that surprisingly good?
Yeah, it really was. I put it on because we were sitting around and it's PG or PG-13. So I could watch in front of Wesley, and, my wife kind of got sucked into it as well, and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah. I was surprised. Like I said, I expected it to be kind of cheesy, but the humor was spot on. The action sequences were great. The time travel stuff was superb.
It was actually a lot more heartstringy plucking than I thought it would be.
Yeah. I agree.
Like older Ryan Reynolds talking to his younger self about how he treats his mom, about how they miss their dad, mm-hmm. about how he misses his dad, but you're actually mad at your dad, and da 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 da. His relationship with his wife. Mm. I mean, just everything. Like there was a lot of emotional heartstrings there getting tugged watching this show.
Absolutely, but in a good way. Like none of it ever felt awful. Like when she sent him off, when his wife sent him off and stood her ground there for a second, like that was awesome. Usually when I see those kind of moments, I'm like, oh, come on. You're like, what was the House of the Dead there?
You know, oh my God. Everyone sacrificed themselves for everybody constantly.
Yep.
To the point where it was just, no one's sacrifice meant anything. Cause it was just like, that's what you do.
Yep.
I had bought the Blu-ray of The Town That Dreaded Sundown. Mm. And on that came another movie that was directed by Charles Pierce, who did The Town That Dreaded Sundown, the original version. It came out in 1979. It's called The Evictors.
Okay.
And it says it's a period piece set in 1942. It follows a couple who are terrorized by a mysterious man on the property of their new rural home in Louisiana, which is the site of various unsolved homicides from years prior. I liked it. I wouldn't give it like a hard sell or anything, but like it was a fun movie from 1979. Had a good story. Vic Morrow's in it, Michael Park, Jessica Harper. So, I mean, it had a decent cast from that time frame. But, yeah, I don't know, hour and a half. I watched it. I liked it.
Okay.
Sometimes I just, like, I have time to watch a movie. I don't know what I want to watch. And I spend more time trying to find a movie than it's too late to watch it. Or now I'm staying up way later than I wanted. So I just said, screw it. I'm going to watch this movie because it's on a Blu-ray I have. And I'm just going to watch it, and that's it. I'm committing. So. And then I saw one more movie.
And which one was that?
So Saturday night, We went to Smitty's in Topsom. Have you ever been there?
Yes, once.
Okay, so this is my first time going there. So my wife is friends with our new neighbors, and her husband and her, and they have a son who's 5, and Charlie and Wesley have played from time to time. Mm-hmm. Kate really and Brittany really get along well, and they're like, oh, let's go to the Smitty's and see this movie. And so Kate was like, yeah, Wesley and I are going to go. Do you want to go? And I was like, yeah, I'll go. I like the first one, and Addison probably will want to go. And Kanan had to work, and then he gets home from work on Friday. He's like, oh, you're going to that at 6:15? Well, I get out of work at 5. So this is the first time the 5 of us have gone to the movies, a movie theater. We usually go to the drive-in. Mm-hmm. The 5 of us have been to the drive-in together many times, but we've never been to, like, the Regal together because Kate really doesn't like going to the movies. So I got to say, I like the setup at Smitty's, you know. This was the perfect movie for the environment. We went and saw Sonic 2.
Okay.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I really liked the first one. I really like this one.
Excellent.
I've never been in a theater with so many friggin' kids in my entire life. Even when Kate Addison and I went and saw My Little Pony, the movie, there was more adults than children in there.
I remember you telling me about that.
And when I have been to movies with kids, like to see Up, This, That, whatever, like it's not that loud or ruckus. Like they're still in a dark movie theater watching the movie. Well, at Smitty's, like, it was pretty loud in there. But the movie was pretty loud, too, so you didn't really notice. It's literally like you were sitting at home watching a movie with your family, except you're in a giant theater with a bunch of people. That's kind of what it felt like to me.
Okay.
I liked where we sat. I really enjoyed the movie a lot. The food was pretty good. Spent way more money than I anticipated.
Yeah, for movie the theaters will do that.
For the 5 of us, we got for each to go. So we have the ticket price to get in. And then, like, Kate got nachos. Wesley got the big pretzels. Addison got mozzarella sticks. Kaden got quesadilla. I just got some french fries. I wasn't very hungry. $135.
Holy shitballs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, here's my fucking mistake of that I made. Sorry, I didn't mean to curse there. But, like, I looked at the price of the food, and it's like, okay, these mozzarella sticks are comparably priced to, say, like, getting it 99 or whatever. Maybe they're a dollar more, but that's not too bad. And I ordered a soda, and I didn't look at the prices of the soda, and I let the kids, like, Kaden get a soda and Addison get a lemonade. Dude, they were $5 a piece. So that was $15 of it right there, which mm-hmm. I should have looked at the prices of the sodas and just gotten water instead. But I just thought, oh, well, the prices of the food is comparable. So the sodas, probably. I didn't even think about it. I just didn't even look until after the fact. And then I looked and I went, oh, shit. So I was kind of mad at myself for that one. Quite frankly.
Yeah, holy shit, yeah. Dude. So you liked the movie, but I mean, real talk here, was it worth $135?
Hold on. Ultimately, yes, I guess. Okay. I'd say ultimately yes, and the reason why is because we all went out. We had a good time. Wesley loved it. Addison loved it. We all enjoyed the movie. Even Kate, who had never seen the first one. We all enjoyed the movie. We had a good time. Wesley was like dancing in his seat when they played Bruno Mars. You know, we hung out with, you know, good moment with our new friend, new neighbor friends that we're making friends with, you know. Mostly the kids had a great time. So it was like one of those, like, all right, whatever, it is what it is. You know, like, we had bought the tickets online in advance a few days before. Well, I did. And then we bought Kanan's, like, the next day because the seat was still open next to me, or, you know, on the end next to one of us. And so we bought Kanan's ticket a couple days later. And then we went and we ordered the food that night, and then we paid for the food that night. So it wasn't, like, all at once shelling out money. You know, it's like we didn't get, like, a bill for $135 when the movie was over type of thing. But still, it was just, like, holy shit, you know, once I added it up after the fact.
Damn.
So, yeah.
Huh. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed the movie. That's cool.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. No, yes, it was a good movie. Again, we left and we both rationalized, like, we had a good time. This is definitely not a every month type of thing, or even two times a year type of, you know, multiple times a year type of thing. That's why we go to the drive-in, because it's $20 to get in, and we bring our mm-hmm. food. Even if we buy food there, it's not nearly as expensive. But the point is, it was a fun Saturday night out.
Cool. So
whatever. It is what it is at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's good.
But yeah, I really like, did you watch the first, you watched the first one, did you not?
Oh God, yes. I love the first one.
Yeah, you'll love this one. Yeah, I'm not going to say this is a scenario where the sequel is better than the original, but this is definitely a scenario where the sequel is really fucking good.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it very much so.
Yeah, you'll definitely like it. So, anyhow, news and trailers, not a whole lot coming. We already talked about Russian Doll Season 2 trailer. We mm-hmm. already talked about the Picard news. Ultimately, the only other trailer I can think of was the one you sent me, Choose or Die.
Yep.
Movie opens up this week on Netflix. It says, after firing up a lost 80s survival horror game, a young coder unleashes a hidden curse that tears reality apart. I like it. It looks good to me. What'd you think?
Yep, it looks pretty good. I will check it out. It's got the kid who was the main character in Sex Education.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yep.
And yeah, it looks decent. I'll check it out, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what to say. Kayla, a broke college student, decides to play an obscure 1980s survival computer game in pursuit of the unclaimed $100,000 prize. After a series of unexpectedly terrifying moments, Kayla soon realizes she's no longer playing for money, but for her own life. Yeah. So Robert Englund's apparently in the movie.
Oh, nice.
So.
I've seen it like five or six different times tonight, but they just dropped a news story that apparently they're making a movie based on Spirit Halloween stores, where a Spirit Halloween store pops up in a rundown old mall, you know, mm-hmm. like they do all the time. But the big draw here is that apparently Christopher Lloyd is going to be in the movie.
Oh, okay. Well,
I wonder if he'll be like the shopkeeper or crypt keeper or something.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I can get behind that because I do like Christopher Lloyd.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'll have to see this on day one, though.
So. Anyhow, I guess that's it.
Yeah. Like I said, when I came on here, I didn't have a lot to talk about. I do regret not watching Picard Moon Knight, but I will rectify that this week.
It is kind of funny that you didn't watch those.
Yeah, it's been a week.
Yeah, I hear you there.
Anywho.
Coolio. All right, well, I guess that's it for me. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
That's for sure.
We'll talk to you next week.